It's good to be with you today. This is Jack. Like to speak to you today, and I certainly desire your prayers that you would be praying for us here today. I've been led to a subject today that I think is very important. Those of you out there, you brothers and sisters, that feel that the Holy Spirit has touched you and that you are blessed to know God and to know His sovereign grace, I would like to speak to you today from the book of Romans, that was penned by the Apostle Paul, and I want to speak to you from the third chapter of the book of Romans, the 20th through the 25th verse. And the Word of God reads, "Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God." Every one of us, I know, in this country are familiar with the justice system in one way or another. With the United States having the highest number of people in prison per population of any country in the world, there are many who are familiar with the justice system firsthand. Then just add to that number the family members of those in prison, those who work in the justice system, and all those who have seen TV shows like Law and Order, and you've probably accounted for 95% or better of the population of this country who are familiar with how the justice system works. Now, if you're arrested for a crime, you can be put in jail. But in order for the authorities to keep you there, they've got to charge you with the crime they suspect you committed. All of humanity is charged with a crime. That crime is sin against God. We inherited the nature to sin from our fallen parents, Adam and Eve. Because of Adam, we all sit on death row. We inherited Adam's guilt. Paul says in Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man," now that's Adam, "sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men." That's all of us without exception, "for that all have sinned." Did you notice that Paul didn't say we were disabled because of sin? No. He said we are dead because of sin. Lack of understanding of this condition is what causes man to accept false doctrines like the ones we're hearing about in our churches today. Man is dead in trespasses and sins. He is totally separated from God, without any ability to change his condition or his relationship to God. As a dead man, he cannot hear the gospel. Paul tells us that in 1 Corinthians, in the Corinthian letter, the 2nd chapter and the 14th verse. And the Apostle Paul pens this, and it says, "But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." I hear so much about how we must preach the gospel to the unregenerate so they can accept Christ and be saved. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm telling you today, you can preach to a dead man all day long, and he won't hear a single word you've said. As a dead man, he cannot see the kingdom of God. It is a spiritual world that he is dead to. All are guilty. Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." I've heard a lot of people say, "I'm a good person. I don't sin. I've never murdered anyone. I don't steal. And I haven't committed adultery." Jesus said in Matthew 5:28, "But I say unto you that whosoever looketh upon a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart." 1 John 3:15 says, "Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." Sin is not what we do. Sin is what we are. We are born guilty of sin, and we cannot escape our sinful nature. We lust, we covet, and we commit many other sins in the heart, even if we never act on those things. We are all guilty. When a person is found guilty of a crime, he is sentenced to some kind of punishment, depending on the severity of the crime. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death." We are all guilty, and we are all under a death sentence. There are many people in prison in this country that are on death row. They are waiting to die for a crime they committed. They've been charged and found guilty, and now they are waiting for the execution of the sentence that has been pronounced upon them. But now listen to me. Suppose someone comes along and says to the judge, John Doe has committed a murder and he's sitting on death row, and I want to take his place. I want to be executed for the crime he's committed. And if the judge agrees and John Doe is freed and his generous benefactor dies in his place, now, can John Doe be charged with that crime? Of course he can't. He can't be charged again. The penalty has been paid. John Doe has been freed and can never again be charged with that crime. But what about the rest who are sitting on death row? They will be executed because no one took their place. If someone had taken their place, they would not have to experience death for the crime they committed. Now, God justifies his children by declaring them not guilty because he provided a payment in full for their sins. Christ died to satisfy God's requirement of a perfect sacrifice. Man is incapable of keeping the law perfectly. Christ came and kept the law perfectly. He is the only one who could appease God's wrath toward man. Christ was without sin and perfect in his obedience to the Father. But as we see in today's text, the law was never meant to justify anyone. The law has always been a schoolmaster to show God's people how imperfect they are. The law is a mirror that shows man his sin, but it cannot wash away that sin. God never intended for those in the Old Testament to be saved by keeping the law. They were saved by grace, just like the rest of us. They were justified when Christ died on the cross. Our text says God's children were justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. When Christ died on the cross, all those Christ died for were justified at that time. Their debt was paid at that time and will remain paid. Nothing can revoke that payment, and nothing has to be done to make the payment effective. Natural man is a self-justifier. Whenever he does something wrong, he tries to justify himself. He makes excuses, or he blames someone else to exonerate himself. Look at what Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke 16:15. And he said unto them, "Ye are they which justify yourselves before men. But God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." Man justifies himself by the works he does to help God. He does good works here in time in order to receive a reward in heaven. Heaven is not a reward for what you do here. Heaven is an inheritance for God's chosen. The reward is here on earth, in the joy you receive for helping others. God's reward is not material. It's of the heart. Man, like the Pharisees, declares himself righteous in the good works he does. Consider what Jesus says at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. "Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven." Now, many will say to me in that day, "Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works?" And then will I profess unto them, "I never knew you. I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity." Jesus plainly says here that wonderful works will not get man into heaven. He says to these people, "I never knew you." In John 10, Jesus tells us about those whom he knows. In verses 27 and 28, Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Now, Let's look for a minute at the conversation between Jesus and the Pharisees, the religious leaders in this same chapter. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me, but ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. The Pharisees misunderstood the purpose of God's law. There had been no atonement made except the sacrifices they were commanded to make through the high priest. They didn't understand that God would provide a high priest who would make one final sacrifice. They didn't understand the purpose of the coming of the Messiah. They thought that the keeping of the law was the way they made themselves perfect before God. They made their religious system a work system. A work system, not understanding that salvation has always been by God's grace. You can see now that in the attitude of the Pharisees who went to the temple to pray in Luke 18, beginning with verse 10, two men went up into the temple, to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, now standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. That scripture, this man went justified to his house rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. The publican was justified, but the Pharisee wasn't. What made the difference? A Christ. Jesus Christ, he declared the publican justified. The Pharisee tried to justify himself, declaring, I thank you, God, that I'm not like the publican. I pray, I fast. No matter what the Pharisee did or said he had done, he could not justify himself. I'm telling you of a truth today. You cannot justify yourself. Justification is the act of making a person accepted. Judge or jury makes a person accepted by finding him not guilty of a crime. He is acquitted and is accepted back into society. God makes man accepted in Christ through Christ's payment of man's sins at Calvary. Through Christ, man is acquitted of his sins and is accepted into a relationship with the Father. Notice now, in both cases, the justification must be performed by an outside party. You cannot go into a court of law being accused of a crime and declare yourself not guilty. The judge and the jury must do that. They must do that. Jesus said in John 5:21-22, For as the Father raises up the dead and quickeneth them, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed judgment all judgment unto the Son. We are all guilty of sin, dead in trespasses and sins, and it is Christ who quickens, makes alive whom he will. It is according to his will that we are made alive, not our will. We cannot judge ourselves. We cannot give Christ permission to judge us or accept us. God has committed all judgment unto the Son. As in a court of law, we have no say in the matter. We can produce evidence that might clear us of the crime we are accused of in a court of law. But in God's court, we are guilty as charged. All we can do is beg for mercy like the publican. Lord, have mercy on me, the sinner. Now, let's consider several questions. Let's look at some questions here that I'd like for you to think about and meditate on today. The first one, can you be justified and not sanctified? Can you be justified and not be glorified? Can you be justified and sanctified and not be glorified? Can you be justified and glorified and not be sanctified? A whole lot of things for you to think about, but now I want you to think about them as we look at them here. If Christ died for everyone, then everyone is justified. Everyone is declared not guilty. But according to modern theology, not everyone accepts the atonement. It's man's choice, they say. Modern theology says Christ died for everyone, so everyone is justified. So if man doesn't accept that Christ died for him, then he won't be sanctified or glorified. But that's impossible, I'm telling you now today, brothers and sisters, because everyone who is justified will be sanctified and glorified. In fact, the fact is, if you don't accept Christ, this doesn't change what he did. He still did what he did. He did what the Father sent him to do. God's plan doesn't allow for error. Christ's death justified all he died for, and all of them will be sanctified and glorified. And listen to the scripture. Paul says in Romans 8:29-30, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now listen to what it says. And whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. All those Christ died for are justified, and they all will be sanctified, that is, born again, and they all will be glorified. They will be like Christ in that eternal kingdom. Now, the second thing I want you to think about, if you can be justified, can you be unjustified? If your sin's debt was paid in full, can you be justified and your debt be called back upon you? If your name was written in the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world, does that not indicate that in God's eternal plan, you were justified before you were born, when he chose you before the foundation of the world? Or were you justified by your own decision to accept Christ as your Savior? If you were justified by your decision, then you were self-justified. If Christ's blood can't be applied unless you let it, then it is your decision. That makes the difference. Not Christ's sacrifice on the cross. What good is Christ's sacrifice if it can be undone by your rejection of him? When the sacrifice was made 2,000 years ago, the blood was applied to all of God's children from Adam to the last child of God to be born in this old world. What gives man the right or the power to unapply what God has applied? Christ's blood does not hang out there somewhere in space until you get ready to wash your sins away. It was applied to all of God's children, past, present, and future, at the moment Christ died. Now, the third thing I want you to look at, are you justified if you make some kind of decision? Are you justified by confessing your sins before mankind? Are you justified by confessing your sins before God? Are you justified by some action that someone else has done on your behalf by listening to your confession or preparing you for heaven? Now, or are you justified by a work you have performed, by giving to God monetarily, or by doing good deeds? Or are you justified by grace? Can your mortal mind justify yourself? Or does it take someone who has more power than you do? In a court of law, it takes a judge or a jury to justify you. You can't justify yourself before man by making a decision. If you could, then why have a court system? If you can justify yourself before God by making a decision to accept Christ as your Savior, then you don't need a God. Just like a legal system here on earth, that takes a higher power to justify justify you before man. It takes a higher spiritual power to justify you before God. And the Apostle Paul says in Romans 3:24-26, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. God can justify you because he is just. Man cannot justify himself because man is not just. I'm telling you of a truth. Man is eat up with sin. Only the perfect wisdom of God could devise a way to pronounce a guilty transgressor of his law not guilty and still maintain his own truth, holiness, and justice. God has devised such a way of pardoning sinners that demonstrates and magnifies his perfect character and glorifies his Son. Sinners cannot be pardoned in a way that does not exalt God and glorify Jesus Christ. If man has to make up his own mind that he wants to be saved, then man is the one who is exalted. That's why the doctrine of free will is a false doctrine, a religious lie. I'm telling you today, it does not exalt God, it exalts man. It does not glorify Christ, it glorifies man. It is to man's credit. It is to man's credit that the decision to make Christ his Savior was made. God is the righteous judge, and man is the guilty party. Man can plead guilty or not guilty, but it is the judge who makes the final determination. Now, I'm telling you, God is holy and man is unholy. God cannot be unholy any more than God can lie. God cannot maintain his holiness and give in to the will of unholy man. For God to maintain his holiness, everything must be done according to his will and his good pleasure. Any part that an unholy man, I'm telling you, that an unholy man would have in determining his own salvation would render God unholy. God's holiness cannot partner. It cannot partner with an unholiness to save a single lost soul. Were you justified on purpose or were you justified by chance? Did Jesus take a chance on you making a decision to accept him when he died on the cross, or did he know those for whom he died? I'm telling you, Christ's death on the cross was not an attempt to pay for everyone's sins or anyone's sins. It was an effectual payment which the Father accepted. It was payment in full for all the sins of those God chose. In Romans 1:6, Paul calls them the called of Christ Jesus. Let's look at John 10 again. Jesus says in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Do you feel that it is unfair if you are justified without your permission? The Apostle Paul, he anticipated this question in Romans 9:18-23, as he proclaims, Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who hath resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God willing to show his wrath and to make his power known endureth with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy which he hath afore prepared unto glory? There are a lot a lot of prophecies in throughout the Old Testament. Some of those in the book of Isaiah, one in particular, that point to the birth and the life and death of the Messiah. Isaiah says in the 53rd chapter and the 5th verse, he says, "But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Christ was fatally wounded for our iniquities, for our sins. But Isaiah says, now listen to this, Isaiah says, "With his stripes we are healed." The world is sin sick. We are all sin sick. But Christ did not just provide medicine that anyone could take if they wanted it. This is the doctrine that the world at large is preaching today. Here's the medicine. Just come and get it if you want it. If you want to be healed, they say Jesus did his part and now it's up to us to do our part. We have to take this medicine to the world, they say, and try to get as many healed as we can. Now, this is what Isaiah says. Isaiah says that by Christ's stripes, we are healed. We are healed. Not that we will be healed if we choose to take the medicine, or we can heal someone else if we take the medicine. Isaiah says we are healed. At the time of Christ's death, someone was healed. I'm telling you today, if all were healed, as some preach, then why is anyone in hell? In the 10th verse, Isaiah says, "Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief." Now, how could God be pleased to put his only begotten Son through such an agonizing death on the cross? It was because God could see the final outcome. He could see that the outcome of his perfect plan to redeem his people would accomplish just that. Not one of those whom God sent Christ to redeem would perish, and it pleased God to bruise him to that end. All those for whom Christ died were justified at Calvary. Their sins were put away right then, not when they decided to invite Jesus into their heart, but right there on Calvary's cross. They were healed. There is nothing left for God's people to do. They were all healed at Calvary. Isaiah goes on to say, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." The pleasure of the Lord prospered in Christ's hand. How prosperous is it for Christ to die and not be able to save all he died for? I'm telling you, Christ prospered. He redeemed all of the elect. The pleasure of the Lord prospered in his hand. In verse 11, Isaiah says, "He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities." First of all, Isaiah says that God shall be satisfied with Christ's sacrifice. How could God be satisfied if Christ failed to justify all those he was sent to justify? How could God be satisfied if Christ couldn't redeem all those God sent him to redeem? Now, there is no satisfaction in failure. Secondly, Isaiah says, "By his knowledge shall my righteous servant," now he's talking about Christ here, "shall my righteous servant justify many." Isaiah doesn't say Christ was sent to justify all. He was sent to justify many. Thirdly, Isaiah says that Christ shall bear their iniquities. Christ took their sins upon himself so God's elect would not have to bear them. Those who end up in hell are bearing their own iniquities. Christ did not bear them. If he had, they wouldn't have ended up in hell. All the things I've been talking to about here today were taken care of 2,000 years ago on an old rugged cross by our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There's nothing left for anyone to do, not one thing. It is finished. Christ bowed his head and said, "It is finished. The deal is done. The price has been paid. Those for whom Christ died have already been healed. His death was prosperous, and God is satisfied that not a single one he gave the Son will be lost." May the Lord bless you today in these few words.